Charlie Kirk was a racist, a bigot, and he got what he deserved. Or Charlie Kirk was a hero, a man of God, and a great father. What's true? I don't know. I wasn't sure if I wanted to make this podcast, but the experience of the last week, it compels me to do so. Today I'm going to work through the who, the what, and the why. And I'm going to explain some of the research I've done and share the links in the show notes, as always. And ultimately just try and give some kind of flavor for my opinion and where we're all headed. But long story short, this is a pretty tragic moment. And the young dads out there, I think more than anyone else, like really struck by, whoa, that is fucking brutal. And an assassination, like, let's call it what it actually is, like a politically motivated gunning down of someone who was exercising their right to the freedom of speech. Extraordinary story. Yeah, and look, as someone with young dad, as someone with three young kids, like, this just really has rocked me pretty hard in the last week or so. My wife too, in a bunch of Bitcoin-related groups. These guys are into stoicism, health, beef, sound money. They have incredibly positive outlooks on the future. And they're all shaken by this. Like, really, whoa, this is actually happening type stuff. I am, of course, also an investor, investing my own money over the last decade. And these events, they're a big part of the macro picture of today, and without a doubt play into the environment we're trying to navigate. So we've got to take note for what's actually going on. But most of all, like, you know, RIP Charlie Kirk, sending my prayers for his family. And what an extraordinary time to find ourselves in. Now, just before I kick off into the main content, if you find this valuable, give us a like or a subscribe. Reach out on email, hi@jakewoodhouse.io. And equally, I love using Nostr. I'm a huge advocate. So do sign up there. Listen through a player like Fountain. Send me some boosts, some zaps, and I'll send some straight back. A week ago, I really had no idea who Charlie Kirk was. Sure, I'd seen some YouTube shorts of a guy sitting with a microphone, often being harangued by quite deranged-looking people. It was good content, but I didn't really know who he was. I didn't know why he was sat there. It's easy to dismiss in some ways the value of things. It's like, oh, the algorithm's just pumping this at me. I'll watch it for a bit, but anyway, let's move on. So I didn't take it any further than that. And he then died. And the internet has exploded in the last week. And for good reason. Oh my gosh, what's going on here? We've got to pay more attention. We've got to dig deeper. We've got to find out what the hell's actually happened. And in some ways, the correlation to the COVID experience, it really brings that back for me in terms of people just shouting at each other online. Like, this is the story. This is the story. Or this is the important opinion you have to listen to. Or this is the important opinion you have to listen to. It's like, whoa, lot of information here. Who can you trust? What's actually going on? And it's different agendas coming through in different people's analysis of the situation. And it's like, this is contradictory information. That doesn't make sense. Or this person's saying it one way, this person's saying another way. Highly confusing, which in some ways is to be expected of this particular era we're in. And I'll get to that later down the line. So, you know, basically, deep dive, Jake. Find out what's going on. Shout out to my wife, Loz. She's been leading the charge, in a sense, and has done a lot of stuff looking at, like, who is this guy, Charlie Kirk? And what information can I trust? And, you know, my opinion is what I've seen is, like, what a guy. How do you know, age 18, 19, what your calling actually is? And you go and set up an organization and an extraordinarily talented speaker who spoke their mind, but was based off of a set of principles that they had researched and got their head around and then really, really understood. And it's that kind of process, isn't it? It's like often the way that you come across something you're passionate about, you learn about it, and over time, you become the teacher. And that's in many ways what this guy seemed to be doing, right? Now, you don't have to agree with everything he's saying, but wow, was it interesting with some of the ways that this guy was being framed. Like, he's just been shot. There's videos of his death everywhere on the internet. His wife and kids are in the crowd. He's at a peaceful debate on a university campus in the States. Like, what the hell? Now, the ones that really got me, again, this is to the young dads out there. Like, gents, this is serious. And you see the videos of him like hugging his kids and then running across like, you know, the Fox News studio to their dad, like, that gets right in the chest straight away. Like, those kids will not have this man in their life forever. What? Why? Who is going to do that? What is the cost of this? Now, when you watch these clips of Charlie, it's like, you know, as I already said, a talented public speaker, but his views, you don't have to agree with them all. But he's clearly willing to meet people where they're at, right? He's literally sat physically at a university campus, willing to talk to anyone about anything, and has a response, of course. But like, some of these people are so angry, right? They turn up and they're like, they're hurling insults at this guy, like, immediately. It's like, well, on the one hand, like, why is that person in that position? And what's actually going on? Like, some of the clips I've looked at. So, you know, like I started this podcast with, you know, he's a racist. It's like, okay, well, here's a clip of him talking to a black student about diversity and talking about the issue with people that push diversity as the most important metric when actually versus competency or merit. And he uses the example. It's like, well, what is the ratio of black players in the NBA right now? And this guy looked like a student athlete, right? He's like, oh, it's about 70%. Okay. Why? Well, because they're the best. Okay. And is that the same with the NFL? Well, yeah, majority black players. Okay. Well, what it means is you come along and you say, okay, we can't do that any longer. We now need 30% white guys in this tournament. What do you do to do that? Well, of course, you remove the best players and you input people who aren't as competent. They're not there on merit. And what's so interesting is that the students that he's talking to clearly stand there and they start thinking that through. I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. You want to have the highest quality tournament you can. He's like, yeah, exactly. And that's why diversity is dangerous. Or then it's like, oh, he's homophobic. He hates gays. It's like, okay, here's a clip of a guy who calls himself a conservative, calls himself a Trump supporter, calls himself a Christian, and starts saying that, like, as a result of that, you shouldn't allow gays into the conservative movement. You shouldn't allow gays into the Christian religion. And Charlie Kirk sits there and talks through his reasoning behind why it's very important as a Christian, when you go back to the scriptures, to be open to all kinds of people. So that's not a homophobe, is it? And he talks about some of the people that he's helped from a political perspective that are also gay. He's like, so hang on. So, and he lists off a bunch of gay men who are large donors to the Republican Party or involved politically themselves. Should they not be allowed as part of this political movement? And this guy's just stood there like, it's like, of course they're allowed. Like, how ridiculous. And then guns. Oh, you know, Charlie Kirk, he loved guns. It's like, yeah, okay, well, have you heard him explain why? And again, found a clip where he is very, very eloquent and based in his view. It's like, guns are important in order to stem the tide of a tyrannical government. And it comes at a cost. But from his perspective, that cost is worth it. And he uses an example of how, you know, 50,000 people die on the roads every year. What are we going to do? Just get rid of cars? No, of course we're not. The cost of liberty, in some ways, is to avoid tyrannical government. And I must say, I personally, my opinions on the gun rules have changed so much in the last 5 years because I saw what happened to Melbourne when there was a police state. For a few weeks, they had rules in place where they wouldn't let you go a certain distance. They wouldn't let you go into certain buildings unless you did what they asked you to do, which was to take an unknown medication. And there were police everywhere. And I had very close family members and friends who were arrested on the streets of Melbourne for being at protests. Insane stuff. It was done. Would that have been possible had the population of Australia been armed? Absolutely not. Of course it wouldn't. So it comes at a cost. Now, it goes without saying, like, any child that gets gunned down by a gunman in a school or any scenario like that is an absolute tragedy. But this is an ethical discussion. And again, he's very eloquent about it. He's not spewing hate from what I have seen. And another great scenario of, like, him talking about the difference between empathy and sympathy. And this quote being thrown around is like, Charlie Kirk has no empathy. But they've taken the first half of his statement, but not the second half, where he talks about why he believes sympathy is a better word. And so, was he a bigot? Well, in some ways, what's so confusing about this is all of these words get thrown around like, oh my God, this is terrible. You shouldn't be a bigot. Well, what the fuck is a bigot? And so I looked this up. It's like, okay, a person who is obstinately or intolerantly devoted to his or her own opinions and prejudices. Okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad. If you have your opinion, you stick to them. Especially one who regards or treats the members of a group, such as racial or ethnic group, with hatred and intolerance. What I've just run you through, where he's clearly talking about competency being the most important driver of the NFL and the NBA rather than diversity, which in that instance favors a race, or when he's talking about politics and religion from a perspective of your sexual preferences and being open to allowing someone with a sexual preference outside of his own belief, which is, you know, a marriage should be a man and a woman, that's not someone who's intolerant. It's quite the opposite. So why is it, right, when you go looking for this information, you can find this stuff, that there are people out there who are celebrating this man's assassination? And let's call it that, right? I even had a conversation this morning with my wife about like, what's the difference between murder and assassination? And an assassination is a form of murder in which it's politically motivated in some ways or pre-planned. And you see all of these larger news networks talking about Charlie Kirk's murder, murder, murder. No, assassination, right? Now, big question is who did it and why? And I'll come onto that in a little bit. But this concept of like the character assassination of this man online by a portion of society was just so intense. And in many ways reflected by some of those people that he would meet on these university campuses that were like, you spread hate speech. So, okay, but like here are a series of examples in a calm and collected and peaceful manner where that's not true. Hang on a second. What on earth can be going on here where you've clearly got two different groups of people with what I appear to have, like, if everyone watched those videos, how do they come to that extreme view of him being a hate speech advocate? Like, of him inciting death, inciting violence? Like, that's... not what I saw, or being homophobic or being a racist. Like, that is not what I've seen, right? And this concept of like, oh, isn't it ironic that he was an advocate the right to own a gun, and yet he got shot? And it's like they're kind of dancing on his grave a bit. They're like, ha 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 ha, this guy got what he wanted, this guy got what he deserved. It's like, you don't get the irony of that. That's the irony. He was advocating for the use of guns for a population to avoid tyrannical government. Not, obviously, for the fringe scenarios that happen when people shoot each other. So to say that him getting shot by someone is then, oh, that's yeah, he got his comeuppance, that guy. Like, that is hate speech, isn't it? Just the mental gymnastics involved in having that position, it just... like, whoa, that's actually very scary. And again, like, let's really think through this. Like, how are these people so triggered? I mean, another great clip I saw of him was talking about how uni is a scam. And of course, a university student's going to be triggered by that because they are in mountains of debt. They're getting, you know, whatever these fucking grades are supposed to do to help them in life. And he's actively questioning their decisions. And people get very emotional very quickly. But here's a critical part to life. If someone is angry, it's actually a deeper reflection on them than you. And so if that's true here is a man that was asking great questions, sitting there, open to discussion, and the anger that was being thrown back at him was a reflection actually of the happiness and the state of those people. And it gets really like scary when you see the clips of him talking to people who've gone through sexual transformations. They were born as men and now think they're women. They've been pumped full of drugs. So that's not someone who's mentally stable. I mean, just seriously, the questions that this subject throws up are very, very, very important and not to be shied away from. So a man who is out there debating, using the right to free speech, to have discussions, to put forward some of the opinions that he had on the world that he believed would benefit people, has been assassinated in front of his family. So now it's the opposite of going quiet, because of course, that's the signal that they're trying to send. But that's an obvious one, right? You say too much like this guy did, you're dead. Well, to all the young dads out there, do you want to bring your kids up in a world where you can be assassinated for what you say? We coach our children to be themselves, to follow what they find interesting, to share their emotions. Oh, but hang on, this little section over here of stuff, don't talk about that or we'll shoot you. No, that's not liberty. And yes, liberty comes at a cost. And that's okay. But we have to be brave and we have to follow that. Now, something I thought was helpful to think through here is, again, this confusing, oh, it's the left are throwing this or the right are throwing that. Like, in some ways, it's very, very confusing. And I think it's done on purpose. But just to be very clear, so the political spectrum, in my mind, is thrown at you as this linear thing, right? It's a line. Think of it like a ruler. You know, like centimeter number one is the left, right? And generally, the left would advocate for social equality, for government intervention, and progressive change. Whilst the right would be talking about tradition, limited government, and individual liberty. But then you throw into the idea of like socialism and communism and fascism and Nazism. And you're like, okay, well, these are different types of political ideology. Zionism, something that's becoming, I think, more and more important to discuss. And really what happens is that ruler goes full circle and joins on the far side. And it's a circle. And the more extreme you get, the more similar they become to each other. Yes, there are different important ways, but what's going on here is it's like it's somehow everyone's been drawn further and further away from the center. And that's not great because the division of a population is an excellent thing to try and leverage if you want control, like divide and conquer, old school tactic, right? Now, an example of this would be is something I've learned recently reading a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It's like, what actually happened in Germany? Like, how did that situation arise? What is true? And this is just one perspective. But I didn't realize that the Nazi Party was actually called the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Now, on the face of it, that sounds like a left-leaning party. To me, the left and Marxist ideas and communism is something that comes out of the class struggle, right? It's the working man who's being trodden on by the dirty capitalist. Now, without a doubt, the slums and the misery that existed in, you know, the industrializing Western Europe was horrendous from what you can, by all accounts, read. And the ability for social mobility was very restricted. And this is one of the reasons why the United States of America is such an extraordinary story. But this is the Nazi Party. So hang on a second. It had socialists in the name. But actually, it was a fascist far-right movement emphasizing extreme nationalism, racial hierarchy, and of course, authoritarian control. But that's confusing. The name of the party wasn't what it was actually doing. And so in some ways, this is what's also going on here with this Charlie Kirk story, because it's kind of designed to be confusing. No one knows if they're left or right any longer. And that's just crazy, right? And hence the importance of this podcast and equally like the importance of go and do your own research, come to your own conclusions. Of course, try and temper all the information that you see with a pinch of salt. Like, what's real? I didn't see it with my own eyes, so I don't know. Now, an important point to get to here that I touched on before, but again, as a father, this is just massive. Ideas become words. Words become actions. Now, is a man accountable for his actions? Yes. Their words? Yes. Their ideas? Yes. Of course they are. And more often than not, to themselves, right? But violence is an action, a human action, a decision, a self-serving moment. A word is not. And this is the irony of this hate speech advocate vibe at the moment, where because they don't like what you're saying, violence is okay. And that's why on this scheme of or this trajectory of freedom of speech, you either believe in the freedom of speech, which means anyone can say anything they want, or you don't. Oh, hang on, no, let's just police this little bit over here. No, you can't say that. And when you start telling people what they can and can't say, that makes them even more angry. And that leads into a physical action. And I would argue that that's what drives violence. But this is almost a step before that, where it's like, oh, you're saying something I don't like. And you can see this, right, in the countless videos that he has online of a debate where he debates these people and they resort to frustration, abuse hurling. They can't debate. That's the irony of all of this, right? So their words can be made meaningless by this man's rationale. Oh, well, let's just kill him. Oh, let's, you know, they're literally like some of these posts. I seen a guy with a megaphone. They got Charlie cut. They got Charlie cut. You're like, whoa, dude, that is. So you're celebrating the assassination of a man who had a different set of beliefs to you. What the hell is going on here? Is this the world that you want to bring your kids into? Not for me. Absolutely not. And so the right to the freedom of speech, it is absolutely critical that this is held. This is fought for, frankly. And it's so interesting, you know, this is another rabbit hole entirely, but like these centralized digital monopolies that control communication online, they are used to censor speech. The freedom of reach is not the freedom of speech. And so Noster, massive, absolutely massive, to be able to say what you want digitally, it is a massive step forwards in the pursuit of truth. What's scary about this, right, is the division. Like, it's so clear that like people are just so pissed off with each other, they cannot even have a conversation. What does it mean? Well, I think you'll likely see increased government control. Ooh, nothing like a good old, what's the right way of saying this, crisis, to be like, hey guys, by the way, there's a crisis on and you're not safe, so we're going to come along and we're going to put all of these new rules in place for your own good. You know, that's one incentive that I'd certainly look at as a reason for shooting this guy, right? But do you agree with the idea that you could murder someone, you could assassinate someone for views that you disagree with? Do you agree with the idea of celebrating someone's death? Like, people who come out and say, isn't it ironic that he advocated for guns, but he's dead, dot, dot, dot. It's like, whoa, that is an unbelievably shallow approach to what's a very complex discussion and completely agenda-driven. I, as an individual, over the last week, have been able to go and do all this research and find plenty of clear evidence that shows that the irony is actually on the person that doesn't dig any deeper. Why did he advocate for guns? Because he believed in liberty and he believed in stopping the encroachment of a tyrannical government. Who doesn't agree with that? Well, more than likely, the people that believe in big government, the people that want to push communism, they want to push a situation in which, yeah, they control the whole thing. Now, I've already touched on this idea of assassination versus murder and assassination being a subset of murder. So let's call it what it actually is. Is this political violence? Well, on the face of it, it seems to be, but I'm still not quite sure, like, who actually did this and why? And time will tell on that. And I don't want to necessarily make too many guesses, but it's absolutely not the time to go quiet. Now, let me switch it up and come to more of an investment piece here. Well, as an investor, I'm always looking for signals, signs, change. Where am I wrong? And the discussion around a fourth turning is a brilliant one. And what a saeculum is, which is essentially an 80-year period, or roughly the lifespan of one human. And the reason that history rhymes is because the descendants of a human, after three generations, what that person experienced is all but forgotten. And roughly 80 years. So, for example, I can remember that my grandmother, who died last year, would keep a drawer in her house full of old present wrapping paper. So she would never unwrap a present and throw the paper out. And she experienced World War II and rations. Now, every single present that my child has opened just gets, the rubbish is just thrown straight in the bin. Right? They have no concept for what that sense of scarcity meant. You know, that's just one small example. So what's going on here? Well, a politically motivated assassination in front of his own kids on a university campus in the process of free speech and debate. This kind of thing has happened before, right? And the division is rising on both sides. The fear, the angst, the anger is being stoked. And what does this mean? Like, you know, I've already said, is this the world that we want as young fathers, to be scared for our own lives if we say something that someone else disagrees with? And just think about some of the history you might have read around religious purgings, right? People being killed purely for their religious beliefs. And this has happened many, many times over the course of history. Is that a world we want to build? Who's pushing this? And what's really, I think, the most concerning is ironically, the lack of empathy. You know, it's like, okay, what is going on here? And the people will be like, you don't even like the word empathy. It's like, yeah, but what does that mean? And have you got any? You're jumping on his grave, happy about it. Like, wow, okay. But what does this all mean? So it's risk, okay? This is extraordinary, socially driven risk that is bubbling up in the background that without a doubt will impact assets and investments over the next 5 to 10 years. We, I believe, are right in the middle of the fourth turning. The best time frame I think I've been given is basically the 2008 financial crisis was the start of this like 20-year phase where just a lot of shit's going to break. There will be war. People will die. I hate to say it. Like, that's scary in itself. And what comes out of this will be a new future. Now, what kind of war are we going to experience? Well, every war has adopted different technologies. You know, the German invasion to the West in World War II, the very famous the Blitzkrieg, right? This had never been seen before, and they absolutely just punched straight into Paris with high speed tanks and like heavy infantry. Never been done before. And it was very, very, very effective. But what's the equivalent of that now? You know, what if we're in an information war? What if it is social media platforms today? What if it is the ability of government and people with large pockets to influence common discourse and to stir up hate when there actually is no evidence of it? That could be very powerful, right? So what does this mean? Political volatility, a polarized environment. Short-term sentiment-driven swings. You know, certainly in the equity market, like, don't expect to have a nice, like, chilled time if you own some media or you own some defense equities. Now, people are going to be talking about civil war. People are going to be talking about all sorts of different government intervention to help save everyone. Now, the interesting thing is, on a broad sense, like, nothing really has changed, right? The S&P, the other stock markets, like, relatively flat, right? And Bitcoin, of course, that I follow very closely, looking pumpy, but we'll see how that goes. I would be unsurprised if we see additional money flowing into the political sphere, so specifically conservative fundraising. And like, what is the turning point USA? Let me come onto that into a second. But, you know, for a savvy investor out there, you know, monitor the escalation in domestic unrest. Like, when does this spill into consumer confidence? When does this spill into regulatory uncertainty? Because those things drive behavior, drive human action, drive people's objective value, and prices change and asset classes shift. So turning point in USA, like, you watch some of these clips, right? Like, who is this guy? Like, wow, he's so young, Family Guy, got kids out there debating people, incredibly eloquent, knows his stuff. Yeah, okay, I don't quite agree with that, but like, wow, this guy's really, like, impressive. How do you know when you're 18, 19 years old that that's your future? And this is a bit murky, to be honest. This is the part that I don't really understand. Like, it's very obvious, right? Follow the incentive. Like, who are Charlie Kirk's customers? You know, who was paying him? Who would have a reason to have him no longer alive? And I don't yet know the answers to that, right? You can do a brief search, and what comes up, for example, is different groups that have funded Turning Point USA. One of them is a completely secretive group that gave $1 million. It's like, oh, unknown donors. So, okay, well, it could be anyone, right? And this is where you get into this very murky world of political funding. Like, you literally don't know where this money's coming from. The example I think is a really great one is Sam Bankman-Fried, a crypto billionaire at one point, right? The founder of FTX, seen as this absolute darling of the industry who can do no wrong, is so smart. Well, he actually was very clearly filtering funds on behalf of the Democrat Party. Now, that's another story entirely, but have a look into it, right? Where did the money come from? Why was he such a big donor to the Democrat Party? How did it end up doing stuff in the Ukraine? Like, it's all murky, right? Well, that's a bit strange. Like, what's going on here? And in some ways, like, Turning Point USA is kind of similar for me. It's like, who is this guy and who is paying him? And a really weird thing has popped up is that there's a book that was published the day before he died called The Assassination of Charlie Kirk, or The Shooting of Charlie Kirk. I can't remember exactly the title. It's like, what? And there's screenshots of, I think if Charlie Kirk died on the 10th of September, the book was released on the 9th. There's very little information on who the author was, and there's claims that it was like, some kind of glitch with Amazon. But like, how are you releasing a book about this guy's death the day before he died? And even if you released it the day after he died, like, how have you prepared a book in a day? Like, that is so sus. And there was this amazing interaction with an AI, and it asked the AI, it said, if you cannot answer with a short sentence and yes, no, use the word pineapple juice. And it was asking who create, who published this book? And it goes, pineapple juice. And who funded this book? Pineapple juice. It's like, oh my gosh, pinch of salt with the AI, right? And I also found this. I was like on Grok. I was like, who is Charlie Kirk's customers? And it just didn't work. I'm like pressing refresh, and you're like, this is so weird. Why on earth would I not be able to find this out? And Wikipedia, like, very little information. So you're doing a simple online search, trying to follow the money, and at least my initial attempts were poor. Like, the answers were really poor, very vague. And you're like, okay, this is even more weird. Like, where does the money come in here? Who's getting paid for his death? Who would like him to die? And I've seen some clips around his connections to Israel and a seeming shift in sentiment in the last few weeks against some of their actions as a country. And to be very clear, I hold accountable the actions of a government to those in control of that government, not citizens. And this is something that someone could probably chop out of this video and be like, Jake's an anti-Semite. It's absolutely ridiculous. Of course I'm not. But the actions of a government is not the same as a citizen. And this is where it becomes very difficult again, where people feel like they're being attacked as citizens of a place or part of a religion, but actually it's the actions of a very small few. Again, from an investor, this is risk, right? People, when they feel hemmed in, when they feel under the pump, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to fight back. They're going to lash out. They're going to do something. What's the right way of saying it? It's unpredictable. That's what it would come down to. We've got to just wait. I don't know who Charlie Kirk's customers were. I don't know who wanted him dead. I don't know why there's already all of these like completely contradictory stories about the gunman got dressed here, he got undressed here, he got redressed here. The gun was then found somewhere, having been packed up in a backpack, and then repacked again in the forest and hidden under a towel. There's a jet that took off 20 minutes afterwards. There was some facial recognition. It's all just a mess. It's so sus. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And to be very clear as well, like, if what I think has happened, which is a man is assassinated in front of his own children and wife, that's a horrible story. And rest in peace, Charlie, and rest in peace, the story of Charlie. His kids and his wife have now got to deal with life after him. But I also saw a clip of his wife public speaking, two days after his death, and a lot of stuff about their organization, Turning Point USA, and not a huge amount about her husband. I felt the whole thing was quite off. You're like, what's, is she serious? A 15-minute long speech. In my experience of death, specifically my father, the idea that my mother would be doing a speech 2 days after his death, no. Like, that was the last thing that she was thinking about. Now, it may be different, of course, for these media savvy, media hungry, media literate characters. to do that. But basically, just like, I've got a lot of questions and not a lot of great answers. So let me just start to sum this up. Go and do your own research. What do you think is real? Beware of agendas. Don't get wrapped up in someone else's anger. Try to keep your own space and just really think through, like, okay, so who was Charlie Kirk? What was he doing? Why would this happen? And we need to basically take some more time to figure out what those things actually mean. But for me at this point, I'm an absolute advocate for the freedom of speech. And the idea that a man can be killed for what he says is an absolute violation of that. And that, therefore, is something I disagree with entirely. You say whatever you want, and I'm never going to kill you for it. You attack me personally with physical violence? Well, that's very different. But are we in an information war? It seems so. And are those places that we get information from corrupt? Without a doubt. So be very, very careful where you get your information from. Like, even just in this episode, right? What the AI tells you is what it wants to tell you. Who controls the AI? Ask yourself that question. And so, yes, AI has already made my life better, right? The ability to jump on Grok and do what were previously spreadsheet required calculations in a matter of seconds. This is extraordinary efficiency. And that is unbelievable. In fact, I might even be in a position as an entrepreneur to run a series of businesses that require a set of completely different skills. But I can now do all of that myself without anyone else. Unbelievable technology. But like all tools, all technology, a knife can cut my carrots. A knife could also stab my next door neighbor to death. A mobile phone. I can call any one of my family members and have a conversation anywhere in the world. I could also be calling young children to groom them as a pedophile. A car. It could be the getaway vehicle from the theft of some jewels from a high-end store. Or it could be the way that you travel to and from work. Technologies, tools, they are the user, right? They give efficiency and speed and improved pricing to the user. But gun crime is not the crime of a gun. Gun crime is the crime of a person, of a human, of someone who took action. They took their ideas, they took their words, and they turned it into something else. Okay? They physically did something. And so I absolutely advocate for this, and I will do for the rest of my life. You say whatever you want, whenever you want. And the moment that someone starts to police that fringe, that very edge of, oh, but that shouldn't be allowed, or that shouldn't be allowed, no. Because that person who might have those thoughts, they're not accountable to their words in the same way they are with physical action. And if you don't give someone the full breadth of freedom of speech, it riles up them. It gives them more reason to get angry. And then that evolves into actual violence. So the freedom of speech right is critical to living in a safe world. Anyway, what are we seeing here? A man has been assassinated on a college campus for debating. What an insane thing to have seen happen. The degradation of trust in all institutions is just, it's happening so fast all around us. Where do you get your information? Don't know. Who can you trust? Don't know. What are you going to do in your day-to-day life? Well, this is the important point. This is how I wrap it up. Control what you can control. Focus on what's directly around you. Go and touch grass. Get in the playground with your kids. Focus on being healthy in the mind, in the spirit, in the body. Of course, stack as much Bitcoin as you can. Get as much positive opportunity for the future as you can with sound money. And, you know, with that, I'm going to try and step away from this story, having, you know, been really hooked into it for the last week. Because at the end of the day, I cannot control what is happening. And therefore, it is an additional stress in my life that I just do not need. It does help crystallize a very firm belief I have, which is for the freedom of speech for all. If you found this episode interesting or valuable, please do give us a subscribe. I advocate for Nosta, create an account, send me a message, fling over some zaps. If you're on Fountain, give us a boost, give us a share. I'd really appreciate that. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe out there.